we have something special this morning for you guys. Very much encouraged to have Brother Tyler Brown here. Tyler is one of the missionaries that we support as a church. He is in Salt Lake City, Utah area, Ogden, Utah, and he is a missionary that is focused on helping the community in Utah plant churches all throughout the state. And so just want to say thank you, Tyler, for being here, man, and really excited for this. This guy is super humble, really valuable asset to the kingdom of God, and really glad that we get partnered together. So if you would, just give him a warm welcome as he comes on up.
Wow. Thanks, brother. I'd say the same about you. So really grateful to be here this morning and reconnect with a lot of you guys. I was here about a year ago, and I had my family with me. My family was supposed to be here again this weekend, but our car broke down on the way here. So my wife is back home with a couple of our kiddos, and since the last time we were here, we actually had another kid. We got a two-month-old little boy, so that's our third boy. You guys can pray for us in that. And our family just loves Celebration Church. We're so glad we can partner with you guys and be a part of what God's doing through this body. So let me pray. I'm glad to share some things with you guys this morning, some updates and some of what God's been doing over the last year. And then we'll dive into Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 27 this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity just to be with Celebration Church and God, to just be in your presence and to worship, to just reflect on what you're doing among us, and to be encouraged with the family of believers that you've brought together here. And I believe you're doing things in each of our lives, God, personally, and I think collectively you're going to speak to us this morning, and so give us ears to hear and just lead our time, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So Acts 14, verses 26 through 27, if you have your Bible, we're going to spend some time there. And in this passage, Paul and Barnabas are missionaries, and they're coming back to the church that sent them out, and they're reporting or declaring all that God had done among them. So in a lot of ways, that's what I want to do this morning with you guys. I was here last year. I preached on Colossians chapter 4, and in Colossians chapter 4, Paul was partnered with the Colossian church, and he says, pray for us that God would open a door. And so that's what we talked about last time. I said, pray for us that God would open a door of faith into Utah, where we currently live and have been serving for the past 5 years as missionaries. And I'm thrilled to report back to you guys, as you have been praying and as you have partnered with us, God has been pleased to open up a door of faith into Utah. And I want to say thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you for your prayers and partnership in the gospel. We did a little worship gathering this week in Utah. There were, I think we got a picture of it, about 30 people in a living room. These are some of the people that have been closest with me over the last season. And we're taking the Lord's Supper there. That's me. I'm just weeping in that picture, because I'm looking around at the room, and some of the people in that room, when I first met them, they weren't following Jesus. Some of them were part of the Mormon church when I first met them. But today, they're sitting in a room like this with a group like this, and they're participating in the Lord's Supper with us. And God has been pleased to save several of them, even some of them over the last year. And I want to share some of those stories with you and celebrate today with you all that God's doing in Utah and really across the world. I think that's the main point of the text this morning, I think, is that God is on a mission to spread the gospel among every people and every place. And we see that here. I want to read the passage here, starting in verse 26. It says, "From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." So God's on a mission to spread the gospel among every people in every place. And in this passage today, we see really some of the beginning of that mission with some of the first missionaries who reported that God has opened up a door of faith to the Gentiles. And that word Gentiles there is ethnos in the Greek, which is another way to say peoples or nations. So God is getting the gospel among all the nations. And if you're familiar with the Great Commission from Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, that was one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "Go and make disciples of all the ethne," or all the nations, all the people groups of the world. And then in a lot of ways, he repeated that commission in the beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and on to the ends of the earth." And so God is on a mission, and he's invited us to participate in that mission of spreading the gospel among every people group in every place. And we saw some of the beginnings of that with the first missionaries here. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit had called Paul and Barnabas and set them apart and sent them out. And a lot of people call this the first missionary journey between Acts 13 and Acts 14. And then they come back to the church that sent them out, and they declared all that God had done among them. Okay, so I want to walk through that first missionary journey with you this morning as we celebrate some of what God's doing in Utah and share some of what that's looked like practically for us as missionaries. Really, all we've been doing is following the example or the pattern of the missionaries in the Bible. And I think they were actually just following the pattern of Jesus. And so we'll talk a little bit about what is the missionary work that began with Jesus and then continued with the apostles, and I think God is continuing today. And so let's start there with Acts chapter 13, verse 1, at the beginning of this missionary journey. And this is going to be an answer to the question, what is the work? Because I want to point something out. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now there were in church at Antioch prophets and teachers." And in verse 2, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." Okay, so church, praying, fasting, worshiping the Lord, Holy Spirit spoke, said, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work." Now, go back to verse 26 in our passage today, Acts 14. They came back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for what? The work. The work that they had fulfilled. So what is the work? I think that's a key phrase for us as we think about the missionary work and how we can participate in it. I think through Acts 13 and 14, we can learn a little bit about what the work of missions looks like. And so I got a map up here that'll help us as we think about what did Paul and Barnabas do as they were set apart and sent out? What were some of the things that they gave themselves to? And they started here in Antioch. I got it circled with the red pen. I did that on my iPad. I thought that was pretty impressive. and then I think I did a screenshot. And somebody put it on the slide, which is amazing. So here we are in the church in Antioch. This is just north of Jerusalem, is a little bit south there. In a lot of ways, the Jerusalem church started the Antioch church after the persecution of Stephen. And I think it was Acts 8. And then some of those scattered believers ended up in Antioch. And then Paul and Barnabas went and they helped start this Antioch church. They spent about a year there before we get to Acts chapter 13, where the Holy Spirit sets them apart and sends them out. So they're sent out of the Antioch church. And the first place they go is down to Cyprus. We see that in Acts chapter 13, verse 4. From verses 4 to 12, we see their time in Cyprus, where they travel from city to city across the island of Cyprus. And we're asking the question, what is the work that they did there? We notice that they preached the gospel when they got there, and there was a proconsul, or a leader of the island, who came to know Jesus. So they went to Cyprus, they preached the gospel, and they made a disciple. And then they moved on in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. They went from Cyprus up into that Galatian region, and they landed in Antioch in Pisidia. Antioch, Pisidia is there in the top left corner. When they got to Antioch in Pisidia, they went into the synagogues, and they preached the gospel. There were Jews there that were waiting for the Messiah. And the apostles were saying, the Messiah has come in Jesus. And you can believe in him and have eternal life. They got some opposition. Some persecution came to them. But in the middle of that, check out Acts chapter 13 in verse 44. It says, the next Sabbath, or the next week they were meeting together, the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. And that reminds me of Jesus. I think what the apostles were doing was really just following the pattern of Jesus. So I want to show you what Jesus was doing in Mark chapter 1. Jesus entered into Galilee. Okay, so we're talking about the apostles here entering into Galatia and preaching the gospel, and the whole city gathered. Check out what Jesus did in Mark chapter 1. He entered into Galilee, proclaiming, in verse 14, the gospel of God. And he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And he made some disciples there. He called them and gathered together in a home. And in verse 32, that evening they brought a lot of people to him. And in verse 33, it says, the whole city was gathered together at the door. And so what Jesus was doing was taking the gospel to the city, to the whole community. And what the apostles were doing was the same thing. And in fact, it says, go back to Acts chapter 13 with me. As they received some of that opposition, in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But then in verse 50 of Acts chapter 13, as they received some of that persecution, in verse 51, they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium, the next place. That phrase, shook off the dust, have you heard that before, of their feet? Where did that come from? That was Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus sent the 12 apostles out. Guess what he sent the 12 apostles out to do? Go to all the villages, go to all the cities, go to all the towns, preach the gospel. When you enter a city and they don't receive you, verse 5 of chapter 9 in Luke, shake off the dust from your feet. So Jesus was entering into cities, taking the gospel to all the people. And then he sent the 12 apostles. He said, you guys go to all the villages, take the gospel to all the people, and when they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. Guess what the apostles were doing. Who did they learn this from? Jesus. And so the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, the apostles here, the first missionaries, they're just doing, I think, what Jesus was doing. They're entering into these cities, they're spreading the gospel among them, and then they go on to the next city. In chapter 14, they went to Iconium in verse 1. So now they're leaving Antioch Pisidia, they go into Iconium, they enter in the synagogue, and guess what you think they did? They preached the gospel. I think this is the core missionary task, to enter into places with the gospel, the good news. The good news they were proclaiming in 13, verse 38, they said, "Let it be known to you, brothers, that through this man," they were talking about Jesus, "forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." The good news is that you can be forgiven of your sins. The good news is that the sinless one, the Lamb of God, was slain to take away the sins of the world. Jesus at the cross paid the price for us so that now by his blood we are cleansed and made right and righteous before God, and we can have an eternal relationship with the holy God of the universe as our Father. Jesus died and he rose again and gives us his power to have this new life. This is the good news that we want to see proclaimed everywhere, in every place. And as the missionaries are carrying this task out, again, they get some opposition in Iconium. They go next to Lystra and Derbe, these cities. You see that in verse 6 of chapter 14. They fled to Lystra and Derbe. Guess what they did in these cities? They preached the gospel. And a really good summary statement of what they did is found in chapter 14, verse 21. You guys are doing a great job through the Bible. I know I'm taking you all over the place, but I hear the pages are flipping and you guys are really tracking. In verse 21 of chapter 14, it says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." So the missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, enter into these cities, proclaim the gospel, and make disciples. And we see in verse 23 one more component of the core missionary task. "When they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." They appointed leadership. And when they would go out to the next city, sometimes they would take people with them. So not only would they leave leaders in the city that they just were planting the gospel, they would take other leaders with them to the next cities as well to multiply leaders. In accordance with this great commission, in line with God's mission to bring the gospel, to spread the gospel among every people in every place. This is what's happening in verse 49 of 13. We read it already. I'll read it again. "The word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region." This is what God is all about. Jesus paid the price for it at the cross. And he sent us to take this good news so that others could experience it. I think this is the core missionary task, and we've basically been trying to follow this pattern in Utah to engage our communities with an entry strategy, to share the gospel with those in the community, to make disciples, to gather the new churches that God's birthing, and to develop leaders. And you guys are a part of this work. You guys are carrying it out here locally, and because of our friendship and relationship and partnership, you guys are a part of what God's doing in Utah too. And so we're celebrating today some of what God's doing. I want to share practically some things that have been helpful in each of these categories for us, and maybe they'll be helpful for you guys as you continue to carry out the mission here in Montrose. In the entry strategy, one thing that we tried to identify is people around us who are far from God. And so if we can get a list, a lot of you guys already know that, probably in your minds and your hearts, people in your family, people in your community. If we have a list of people we know who are far from God, we can begin praying for them. And a lot of you guys are already doing this. You're praying for the, that's a really good entry strategy. If you're not doing it, I recommend you give it a shot. God works through your prayers to reach others. Somebody told me one time, God saved you with somebody else in mind. I thought that was really good. And so who are those people in your community that you know that you're praying for? That's something that's really helpful in engaging. In the second category of gospel, what's a simple way, as you're praying for people that you know who are far from God, what's a simple way that you can share the good news with them? The good news here was in chapter 13 and verse 38, forgiveness of sins is through Jesus. Jesus died, he rose again, so that you can experience forgiveness of your sins. A real simple way for you to share the good news. Some people find it's helpful to share their testimony. I think we have a good biblical example of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. When Jesus met the Samaritan woman, she discovered that he was the Christ, and then she went back to her village, and she shared her testimony. And she said, could this be the Christ, the Savior of the world? And so what's your testimony? Can you share it in a real succinct way? So that when God, as you're praying for people, you better believe it, God's going to open up opportunities. Are you ready to share what God's done in your life so that he can work in their life too? So maybe you have a short little testimony. Maybe you have a little name list. What about in discipleship? Maybe what if God saves one of those persons or a lot of those persons? Do you have a simple way to follow up in discipleship as God is working among you? We found it really helpful to have a discovery Bible study where we can just open up the Word, maybe at a coffee shop, maybe in a living room, and just walk through the Word of God. And we can ask some simple questions like, what does this passage say about God? What is some ways you can follow Jesus? And we help people begin to follow Jesus in discipleship. So maybe that's helpful for you, a simple name list and a simple gospel and then a simple way to make disciples. What about church? In church, you guys are really good at this. You have strong community, strong relationships. A lot of you guys are already doing this. One thing that we found helpful is to just open up our homes. Open up your home for meals, maybe a fire pit in the backyard for roasting marshmallows. That's your application today for all the men to go buy fire pits. And the wives are okay with that because the preacher said so. So open up your home to build out relationship and fellowship and community. That's really what the church is. It's a family. And so play board games, laugh, and do that with one another. A lot of you guys are really good at that. Okay, so what about leadership? In leadership, what if not only are you opening up your table for community or your living room for discipleship, but maybe there's somebody in that group that you can help get to the next group? Maybe somebody in your group needs to have a name list. and a simple gospel and a simple way to open up their home? And what if you were able to not only walk through this path, but train others or equip others to also multiply as leaders themselves, to begin leading people to Jesus in their workplace? This is the pathway to get to every place. And this is the core missionary task, I think, that we learn from the apostles, and I think from Jesus, and some things that we found helpful as we've been engaging in Utah. And this morning, I want to celebrate with you guys, as we've been carrying this out together, some stories of what God's been doing. And so in verse 27, that's what the apostles did. When they arrived, they gathered the church together. They declared all that God had done among them. And so in verse 27, I just want to ask the question, what can we celebrate? And I want to share some stories. I think we got a map of Utah up here we can walk through. And over the last 2 years in Utah, we've seen God save over 100 people and bring them into the kingdom. Praise God. We've seen 12 new groups or churches form that look a lot like that picture I shared earlier where we were taking the Lord's Supper together. And I want to share a story of one of those groups here in Clinton. The first church we started was in Ogden, and then we started multiplying from there all across the state. I believe God gave us a work. He set us apart to be missionaries in Utah. And man, this is amazing to reflect on what God's doing. The work in Clinton, this guy I met, the leader of that group, it basically just meets in his living room. They have a meal together. They do a simple discovery Bible study together. And this all started about a year ago. I went to him and basically I just said, what would it look like if we saw something like Acts here today? And when I asked that question, it really dropped into his heart. And God just really called him into this missionary work. And so he said, well, what if we go every day to the university and share the good news with students? I was like, well, that's a really good idea. And I guess I ought to go with you because I can't just read about it and tell others to do it. So I joined him in that, and we just formed a partnership. He's one of my best friends today now, and he's been faithfully going to the university 5 or 6 days a week for the past year, pretty consistently. And one of the first times we went, I got to see him lead his first person to faith. She was leaving the Mormon church, and she came into the kingdom. That was the start of the group in his home. We had dinner with her, and then after dinner, we just opened the Bible to help her start learning for herself how to follow Jesus. And then that group just started to grow a little bit. And my friend, the leader, led his mom to faith this year. Praise God. Almost every day, I get a text from him about different people that he's engaging. His dad, his stepdad, he's led 4 or 5 people to faith over this last year, and many more are to come. And now there's a group in his home with discipleship that has basically become a family, a spiritual family there. This is what God's doing through us. He's invited us to participate in this mission. And I could share stories like that all over Utah. I know you guys can share stories here. And so I just wanted to take some time to reflect on that this morning from the Word and celebrate and praise God for some of that. And even as we have given ourselves to this work in Utah over the last year, or actually we've been there the last 5 years, now we see that there's been some leaders. We've even been able to see some elders appointed. And this work is going to continue, and I think they're going to see even greater works as the Holy Spirit has begun to set me and my family apart for a new work. So the church in Utah is sending us, and I think in a lot of ways the church in Montrose is sending us now into a new phase of the work. In a lot of ways, our vision has grown a little bit to say, man, what? Not only what if what's happening in Acts could happen in Utah, but what if what's happening in Utah could happen in every state across the U.S.? And even further, what if this work began to penetrate some of the unreached people groups that are here in our backyards? An unreached people group is what missiologists consider a people group that has less than 2% evangelical Christian. We see a lot of them coming in as internationals or refugees. And so the potential for the Great Commission, the mission of God in the U.S. right now is really great. And I think God is allowing me and my wife to step into some of that. I think we want to share some of these stories and in some other parts of the U.S. He's calling us to move to the East Coast in the next season and to begin training and working with leaders in churches and pastors and missionaries. That's really our role. I'm a missionary with the missions organization I work with is E3 Partners. And over the next season, I've got some teams that I'm working with that are saying, man, we want to do this here. And so we're going to serve in that role over the next season. It's going to be the same work we're doing in Utah, but in a different place and maybe even with a little bit of a greater vision. And so we appreciate you guys continuing to pray with us and partner with us in that work. And if you want to learn more about that, I'll be in the back after the service. Love to talk to you some more. And but this morning, I just wanted to praise God. Praise God for what he's done in our lives. This is a celebration, church. Isn't it what we do on Sundays? We celebrate. Celebrate how God has brought us into the kingdom of God. And we celebrate how he's doing that work in the lives of others as we carry out this mission. I'm just reflecting on God's grace in my life and God's grace in your life. And we're going to be, in a Revelation 7 kind of way, celebrating for eternity around the throne with every people in every place, praising the Lamb of God who took away our sins so that we could be forgiven. And maybe you haven't experienced that before and you're here and today's a really good day for you to come into faith, believing in Jesus, and enter into the kingdom of God and be a part of this family and be a part of this mission. And I'm thankful to partner with you guys as we continue to carry this mission and until there's no place left. So let me pray. Father, thank you for let me share this morning just some things that we've seen you do, and I'm just so thankful for Celebration Church and what you're doing here. This church really is a light to Montrose and a hub for the nations. So Holy Spirit, even as we're praying and fasting and worshiping you and celebrating you this morning, I pray that you set apart for this work missionaries to the nations. And I thank you that we get to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen.